trusting in Jesus Christ. It isn't that the preacher says words. It is that he says words of the Lord and from God. Those words that are preached are just as valuable, just as important, and just as powerful to the preacher as they are anybody in the world. Someone said one time, I go to church and the preacher walks all over me. No, the Word of God does. Because I know it walks on me too. But when it starts walking on you heavy, I tell you the simple thing to do to get off your back. Come to the altar and get your life right. You'll not have no problems. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to go to the 6th chapter of the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6, verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altars of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the images that are by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the order of place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the images which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the images were cut down that were by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the images that were by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He who will plead for him, let him be put to death, while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Then down to verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece, oh, now you want to listen to these words and read right along here, because these words are hard to believe. You don't believe in God, that with God all things are possible. Amen. And so let's hear what God says, not what I say. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside it, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he arose up early the next day, and thrust the fleece together, and rained the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Amen. Can I get good? Amen. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me make a trial. I put thee but this once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Be speaking to us this morning on the subject that we need to relate to. Has God called us to work? Amen. One songwriter said, to the work we are servants of God. And I believe that those words were definitely inspired of the Lord. To the work, to the work. I hear another scripture that kind of leaped from the Word of God, and it said once that you have put your hands to the plow, he that looketh back will not enter the kingdom of God. God has a work for us to do. And I say to you, we don't have to look for God to open up occupation. There's plenty available for each of us today. In the life of this young man, Gideon, oh, we tell how that he went to this great battle and how that God taken away thousands upon thousands of men to him. And then God said to him, Gideon, here's the army that you go fight with. And Gideon looks around, and lo and behold, here stands 300 men. And God did that for a reason. God said to Gideon something like this, Gideon, when you go over there, I done give you the battle. I don't want you to get haughty and high-minded, and I don't want you to get all puffed up. When you take these 300 men over there and you win that battle, I want you to know that you didn't win the battle, I won it for you. And I won it for you because you was obedient. Because you was willing to look at a small group of men and say, hey, regardless of what I think, God has sent me to battle. And you went. And you know, I pray today that whatever is accomplished in your life, in the church, or wherever for the Lord, we will realize that we haven't accomplished it. That God has accomplished it through us. Here was a young man that had, I would imagine, multitude of times, seen armies come over the hill and look down upon the fields of harvest, ready to harvest. And as they come over the hill, they come into the field where Gideon had labored as a young man and literally burnt the field up. Had searched out and found the cattle that they had hidden in substitute barn built just to hide the cattle. The Midianites would come and literally destroy the cattle trying to starve them to death. And this young man had seen this time and time again. And I imagine in himself he said so many times, where is God? What's happening here? Why is this happening to us? And one day this young man, maybe even at this very moment, thinking that very thought, lo and behold, in the field that he was hiding from the Midianites, thrashing wheat, an angel of God came to this young man and spoke with him. And he said to them, go in your strength, O man of valor, God is with you. Do you know God's with you today? Really? Well, here was a young man who loved God, served God, but he wondered why it was all happening. And when the angel of God said, the Lord is with you, Gideon fired right back and said something like this, if God is for us and God is with us, why is this happening to us? I have been asked that question hundreds of times. And probably you have too, if you have a folk to pray with or just listen to someone in distress. Why is this happening to us? And the angel of the Lord said, remember this. I've come to you to say to you that God is with you. And if you will be obedient and go to work, you will save Israel. And again, hearing these words, Gideon says, listen what he says, for I'll tell you, you can have all the excuses we want today of not serving God, but they're not going to hold a drop of water when we get to heaven before God. And Gideon believes he has to tell God something like some of us do sometimes. And he said to the Lord, Lord, how can I save Israel? Listen, he said, first of all, my family's too poor. And second of all, and Lord, I am the youngest of my father's children. What Gideon was saying, Lord, I don't believe I can do anything because my family isn't rich and I'm not old enough to be too smart. But the angel of the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord sends you to save Israel. And Gideon begins to worry about it. I don't know if he told anyone, but he begins to worry about it, and he begins to say something to himself like, now look, maybe I have sunstroke out there. Out there thrashing that wheat, maybe I got overheated or something. And so he began to think about whatever it was, and it began to make an impression on his mind. And so finally, he comes to the deal. Oh, I'll tell you, if you want to make some deals, make them with God, brother. But I'll tell you this, you just can't win. So Gideon said to the Lord, well, I'll tell you what to do. I'm going to put you to the test. Well, now, how sinful is that? It's not at all. Didn't God say to us, trust, try, and prove me, and see? If we'll trust and try God and prove God, we'll see who God is. I don't know how big it was. I don't know how faith he had. But as I was studying it, I took time to go into our bathroom, and there the wife has some small cotton ball down there. I took time just to dig one out to look at it. About this big round. And I began to think, I wonder if it was this big. I wonder if it was just this big. I wonder if he took a whole ball of wool. I wonder if he just picked out a little speck and rolled it up. And all of us, when I went back in the study, I'd come out, the Lord had come over, and I thought, now's a good time for me to take a break. And so I went back out, and I don't know if I went for a little, but anyhow, when I went back in, it seemed like God was there, and God, what's the difference? What's the difference if it's this big, as big as a car, or a little speck? God would always honor his word anyway. And Gideon said, I'm going to take this little fleece of wool here, and I'm going to put it outside. Now, folks, this is a big earth. I'm going to set it out to the Lord, and when I get out more, I'm going to go over to it. And if you're really, really speaking to me, you really want me to go to work and do what you want? When I get up, will you let that little fleece be wet? And the whole rest of us, buddy, you talk about trying to get out of something. And so he goes to bed, and the next morning he gets up, and I don't know his speculation, and I don't know his faith, I don't know what he thought, as he walked toward the fleece. But I'll tell you what, I believe he was pretty sure that there'd be water in it, because for some reason he had a hold of it. The Bible said when he squeezed the fleece, he filled a bowl full of water out of that fleece. Go get him, Gideon. Now you know it's got. Go challenge him. You've got the battle won. You know it's an angel. You know it's got. Go! Not Gideon. You. Knock me down. Step in my face. Open my ears and scream at him. But I'm not thrilled to hear unless I'm satisfied. Lord, let me try you one more time, Gideon said. Just one. Don't be mad. I mean, don't get hot and angered at me, Lord. Let me just try you one more time. I'm going to put this fleece back out there, and if you're really sincere, I mean, if it's me, the youngest of the family and poor, I mean, if it's me you want, God, would you do this? Would you make tomorrow that piece of fleece dry? Would you make the earth around it all wet? Lo and behold, I'll tell you, the dust was settled when he walked on earth the next morning till he got to the fleece. And I imagine he picked it up because I'll tell you, it seemed like Gideon didn't want to go. And I imagine he squeezed it. I imagine he wringed it. And I imagine he would say, I trouble in one drop of water. But there wasn't a drop. What a trial that he put God to. But this is no test for God. For God could have put one eye drop full on the fleece and made one drop of it wet and the rest of it dry. And make sure of this. Make sure of this, that when we go for God, that God is leading us. But make sure when God is leading us, we go. That's not faith in God. I can't do it. Something's wrong. I'm not smart enough. And so he decides to serve God. If you decided to serve God, oh, I don't mean serve God your way and my way now. Have I decided to serve God the way God wants me to? A lot of difference. And so he tells Gideon where to start at. Oh my, we see all them hungry little kids over in Africa and Ethiopia, and I'm over there. We see all the people across the sea who never heard the word of God, and I'm over there. But he told Gideon to start where he tells every one of us to start. At home. If you want to be a witness, don't be ashamed to start telling about Jesus at home. For if I talk about Jesus in my house, I'll tell you, me and my wife, Mikey, we'll have a drag-out fight. You'd better get in the brawl then. Because you need to talk about Jesus at home. And listen what he told this young man to do. He said, get your father's bullock and get the second one. And then get you some men and go out and tear down the altars unto the false god that your father has built. Wait a minute. Didn't God say in Exodus about 20, 16 or 70, didn't he say something like, honor your father and your mother? Here was God telling young Gideon, you go out there and destroy everything your father done. You see these words, honor your father and mother, have a long-range application. And God knows it. The best way that Gideon could honor his father was to destroy the false god that his father had set up. You know what? Didn't I read the word of God that it said that Gideon feared the household of his father and the men of the city? You know why? Because, friend, when we take a stand for God and we put our hands to the plow and we reach out into the community to tell about Jesus, you're going to have a fight on your hand from those who serve the devil. And so it said he was afraid, so he went. He went to do the very job that God had called him to do. To tear down the false god and to destroy the images that surrounded them. Well, I don't know how long it was till daylight. But daylight came. And when daylight came and the city goes out to pray to their false gods, lo and behold, there they was. Beat in the small stone. The images made of wood were cast down, ready to be burnt. And it didn't take them long to form council, the board meeting. And they wasn't beating too good, they were angry about it. Who has done this? Who has destroyed our gods, and who has destroyed the images that were surrounding them? Lo and behold, there was a tattletale. Gideon's fault. Gideon's fault. Oh, wouldn't you be glad to see souls coming to Jesus when the community says, who's the fault of this? For them to say, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, it's all their fault. Amen. It's Gideon's fault. And they went to Gideon's father and real fast said, get him out here. Bring your son out of the house so we can kill him. He deserves to die because he has torn down our gods and destroyed the images around about them. Let me say something to you and I today. Before you can ever put something good in your life, you've got to get rid of that destroys you. Before you can ever let the Holy Spirit come into your heart, you have to get rid of sin in it. Before we can put things that are spiritual in our homes and in our lives, we'll have to get rid of the things, my friend, that are against God. And that's what God was telling Gideon to do. You know, I'm going to say this and pray you'll love me when I get done. Pray you never do it. But anyhow, I went in the house one time of a very, very, very good Christian. Very good Christian. And it just happened that this very good Christian just happened to forget to put one of the books away that they read. And it does happen by coincidence, oh, ye eye, for you had to see it. And so the individual went and got the book. Go into the centerfold, and I don't have to say what's on the centerfold, but Bobby's books. Hold it up, he said. Do you read this book, preach? I said, I tell you, if the Bible had a picture in that, I'd burn the fire. trying to cover up. I said to him, as we went on and we talked, I said to him, you know, there are a lot of young Christians possibly that come into your house. And I tell you, the thing you need to do is you need to get sin out of your house. I know it's none of my business you saying, but I'll tell you, you're my brother in the Lord, and if you're weak in it, and you have to read trash like that, that the preacher sees it, you got to cover up to bring out the sinnerful to ask if the preacher reads it, you need to clean up your act. That's exactly what Gideon was to do for God. He was to help his father clean up his act. He was to put something good in the place. What was he to put in the place? He said, Gideon, when you tear down those altars, build an altar to the Lord. Amen? It's not enough to rid yourself of wrong and sin. You have to replace it with something. Well, anyhow, he told me to begin at home. I think that you know today, you who are sitting here, sitting with each other, that the hardest place it seems to be a witness is in the very house you live in. Oh, it's hard to lift up God sometimes in the very house where you live. What did he do? He did it at once. We can procrastinate forever. But until we take up the plow and put it in the ground, you'll never make a furrow. Or today, you just kind of, I see these farmers pull a line, trip down to about a 6 or 7 bottom plow. But when I was a boy, my father had the reins around his neck and these two big wooden handles. Oh, he'd go like that and hold them tight. That's hard to get it to go in the ground. The Bible said he began at once. He goes to those who followed him and said to him, God has dealt with me, and he said what we need to do. And the Bible said that these 10 men followed Gideon to destroy the false gods. No, doesn't have to be a big statue. Are you ready for this? It can be a little cross that you're hanging around your neck on a chain. If you take that cross and throw it out in the open, that might be seen that you wear a cross that represents Christ. Sometimes we wear them for the show, and I pray nobody does. I notice there's some beautiful necklaces and beautiful earrings, and there's nothing wrong with them. But when we wear that cross buried under our garments all the time, and then when we begin to come in contact with them, reach down and pull it out that they might know we're Christian. I'm going to tell you something, friend. That cross don't say nothing. What you live and what you talk and what you show says it all. So they begin immediately. In John 11:28, Martha runs to Mary. The Bible says in secret, and she says to her, the Master has come and calleth for thee. And Martha goes immediately. God has called me to work. He's called every one of us, and we need to go immediately. We need to go before it's entirely too late to do what God tells us to do. What did he do when he decided to go for God and he knew that God had really called him to work? I meant that what he was to do, his work was twofold. First of all, he was to literally destroy all those things that people prayed to, false gods. And when he destroyed them, he was to build up. God said in Jeremiah, he said, you will tear down and destroy, but you will build up. And what he was saying to Gideon, there's a great hope, but to have that hope in God, we have to be willing to do some things. We have to be willing to destroy that hinders us from serving God and put God in its place. When Paul was speaking, to the Corinthians 10:4. He said the weapons that we use against the enemy are not carnal, but they're mighty through God through a pulling down of strongholds. The weapon that we use against sin, my friend, is not a sword. It is not a gun to kill folk because they don't believe like we do. The weapon that we use that pulls down strongholds of the enemy is the Word of God. A lot of us, you know, never opened the book. But the Word of God, the Bible said, is a sword that's able to cut a heart asunder. It's able to pull down the stronghold of the enemy that binds people and says, you don't have to do this, you don't have to live like this, live the way you want to, and once in a while come fall on your knees, ask him to forgive you, no problem, go on. That's not God, friend. It's not the Word of God. But the things that we work against are spiritual. Things that we can't even see. And one of them, and the main one, is what Jesus called the prince and the power of the air. The devil is at work. And the thing to combat him with is the Word of God. Jesus Christ has already given the victory. If you've read the Bible, you know that. He's already given the victory. Let me go on. Number four. He got his name changed. Now listen to this. If you don't hear nothing else, listen. They call him Jerubbaal. And the word Jerubbaal means the hatred of the devil. When he took a stand for God and did what he did, the people recognized right off he hated sin. When you and I take a stand, the world eats the seed. We hate sin. We love the sinner, but we hate sin. Amen? The antagonist, the one who works against evil. And that is what the church is to do today, what God called Gideon to do. To destroy and work against the devil and all the false delusions that people have today. And replace them in their life with something better. With Christ and the Word of God. Encouraged, the Bible said that the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. When you come into the house of God, and when I come into the house of God, and the Word of God is read, and the Word of God is preached, do we really let the Holy Ghost work with us? I mean, are we really concerned if thus saith the Word of God? Are we willing to take the message to the world? Or have we been made to come? What reason are we here? It said the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And you and I have to have a filling to do any work that God called us to do. You know, we have a choir. And I love that choir. But I want to tell you something. That choir isn't there just so those seats will be filled. They're there because there's a message in every song they sing that'll touch hearts and open minds and help them to be receptive to the preached Word of God. I say that's why everyone gathers in that choir, to praise God in song. Amen. To praise God in song. He had a real testimony from God. Think about it. Visitations past week. I know he won't mind me telling it. But I went to Brother Lottie's house on one of the visits and went in to visit with his wife for a while. And while there, she was so happy
And she said, you know why I'm so happy? And I said, no, I would just guess because you love the Lord.
Yeah. And I want to tell you something. I said, you know, I was sitting in this chair. And I fell asleep. And she said, you know, while I was sleeping, I was dreaming, and it seemed like Jesus came. And he said to me, come on, let's take a walk. And she said, I got up out of the chair, it seemed like, and went walking. He took you right down by the river. She said, we had a wonderful talk. And then he come back and kind of set me back here. And said, when I woke up, said, you know, I thank Jesus we had that little talk. Now, right away, I could have said to her, now, Mrs. Riley, according to the Word of God, you know Jesus lived here in that barn. You're dreaming, don't you? But you know, before I left, she said, I thank Jesus for that dream. And I said to her, Mrs. Riley, do you know that that dream you had, that little walk by that river, that talk with Jesus, don't you know before very long that you will walk with Him continually and talk with Him continually? Look, folks, we've got something to live for. We've got something to shout about. We've got something to die for. I have, because I know I have eternal life. And I know that God sends me to work and you to work, that others who do not know God can have that same life that we have in Christ Jesus. Gideon to the work. Kentucky Baptist Church to the work. Preacher to the work. Laity to the work. And that work, my friend, is tearing down and building up. I said to a man yesterday on the street, you a Christian? He said, well, I want you to know I am. I said, how come I've never seen you serve God in all your life? I've never heard you mention God. I've never seen you go out the door of the church. And you're going to stand here and tell me you're a Christian? Well, listen to what he said. I'll tell you what turned me again, church. When I was a boy, I either went to church for dad or used a razor scratch. I said, yeah, your dad probably thought more of you and loved you more than he loved himself. But because he wanted you to find Jesus, the most important person in your life, you have turned not against the church, you have turned against God. He said to me, I tell you what to do, make you a little deal. I said, I don't make deals, especially when we're talking about God. I'll let you preach the funeral. I said, I don't want to preach nobody into hell. You need to change your life. And his little wife said, I've been telling that. And I said, then how come you haven't been to church? To the work, what's important to us? That I'm going to heaven or that we go into a world and tear down these false deceptions, these false gods, and replace them in the hearts of people with the Jesus that you and I know and love. Oh, he said, the Lord's with you. Go and do His work. Today in closing, Sister Sandy, Sir Melvin Wilson come. I say to you that in the Word, God has called every Christian to work. He hasn't called anyone to sit on our hunches and be idle. He's called us to a work that's important. And that is, he said it in this way, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And remember this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. I pray today that as God has called us, we'll accept the work that God has called us to do. We will see that the valuable thing, as we were, Christ died for us. But the valuable thing is that we shun so much. That poor person, it's that alcoholic, it's that harlot, it's that person who's on dope, it's that person who's on alcohol, it's that person who we try to shun. But that's the very people Jesus went to, amen.
Well, you every day as we stand and sing it, if God deals with you to come and get saved, God deals with you to come and join the church, if God deals with you just to come and pray, will you come because God has told you to? Amen.